The Man of Her Dreams, The Woman of His, as read by Joel and Kathy Davison. Chapter 1. All of the answers lie in this one question. How do I become the man that God has called me to be? It was 1979. I was in solitary confinement for aiding and abetting in an armed robbery. I was 17. I was a drug addict. I could not speak clearly from their effects. I had no hope. I asked Jesus into my heart. I gave him my life. My prayer, Lord, make me into the man that you created me to be. I had no idea how he would answer that prayer. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. On April 1st, 1972, the pastor of a local church left his wife a letter. In the letter, he outlined how she should handle the children, handle the finances, and what her first actions should be to minimize the damage. He had been involved in an affair and was leaving her to be with the other woman who had been his wife's best friend. 19 years later, to the day, on April 1st, 1991, the pastor of another local church left his wife a letter. In his letter, he also outlined how she should handle the children, handle the finances, and what her first action should be to minimize the damage. He had been involved in an affair and was leaving her to be with the other woman who had been his wife's best friend. 19 years separated these two events. The first pastor was my father. I, Joel Davison, was 10 years old when he divorced my mother. I had no information regarding the day he left. I had no information regarding the letter he wrote. All I knew was my dad was a pastor who had divorced my mother when I was 10 years old. The second pastor who left his wife 19 years later was me. When my mother read the letter I had left for Kathy, she told me it was like deja vu. The letter I had left for Kathy was virtually identical to the one my dad had left for my mother 19 years ago to the day. Although the stories began identically, they are unfolding differently. My father and my mother divorced and went their separate ways. Kathy and I, however, remained married, and on October of 2004, we celebrated the 20th anniversary of our marriage by renewing our wedding vows on stage at the Houston Astrodome during a historic evening when Charles and Frances Hunter led their final healing explosion.
More than 30,000 people had come from throughout the country to be a part of this historic evening and receive healing from the ministry of the Hunters and the healing teams that had been trained to minister healing to the sick. Joining us on stage for the ceremony were many of our heroes of the faith, including Rodney and Adonica, Howard Brown, Norval Hayes, Marilyn and Wallace Hickey, Nick Pappas, and Joan Hunter. Jackie Velasquez sang. It was an overwhelming experience and a dream come true for us.
We are not just married, we're outrageously happy. We are pastoring a wonderful church. We have 4 wonderful children who are presently between the ages of 11 and 16. We're madly in love with each other. I've become the man of her dreams, and she surely is the woman of mine. A question begs to be answered, a question that lies at the very heart of this book. My mother and father were divorced. Kathy and I were restored. What did we do differently than they did? For that matter, why do more than 80% of couples in ministry end up divorced in the wake of adultery rather than being restored? Why do so many couples simply endure a mostly dreary marriage even if they never faced adultery or other major problem? What have we done to give us such a happy marriage while so many others are simply surviving? This book is dedicated to communicating the principles we have learned and have been living for more than 10 years. Thanks to these principles, we have developed an outrageously happy marriage.
Throughout this book, we will be fully transparent in describing our problems and how we overcame them. For even without the adultery, we had serious issues. Adultery just happened to be a symptom of much deeper issues we were dealing with, issues that most married couples wrestle with at one level or another. If we can have a dream marriage after our severe relationship problems, you certainly can too. The solutions that we found will heal your relationship just as they healed ours.
Kathy is the woman of my dreams. She's a godly woman. She ministers by my side in our pastorate, and she's a fabulous mother. She looks out for all my needs. She even brings me coffee in the morning. Kathy is beautiful, and she's very, very sexy. How could I have fallen into adultery? There are many contributing factors leading to adultery. The power of sin, deception, and demonic influence. Sheer stupidity ranks right up there, too. The purpose of this book is not to teach on demonic influence. I was obviously a pawn in some master scheme of the enemy to destroy our marriage, to inflict pain upon our first two children, and to erase the possibility of our third and fourth children ever being born. The demonic pressures that were upon me, culminating in me leaving Kathy on April 1st, 1991, were indescribable. Had I realized it was April 1st, I would not have chosen that day simply because it was April Fool's Day. Satan's manipulation of two men, my father in 1972 and me in 1991, on this particular day, testifies to the delight that Satan takes in making fools of those whom he convinces to walk, even for a moment, in his will. The purpose of this book is not to elaborate on the power of sin to deceive, although I surely discovered the ability of sin to completely and utterly deceive a believer. I walked into the sin willingly. After that, the power of sin and deception took over. I thought that I could get away with it. I thought that I could control it. I thought I could take a break from my commitment to God and my wife, dive into sin as if I were diving into a swimming pool, climb out, dry off, and pick up right where I had left off. Not only was I in total deception, I was living in complete denial. Sin takes you further than you intend to go, keeps you longer than you intend to stay, and costs you more than you intend to pay. The deception is that you're in control. You say to yourself, God won't mind. He will forgive. If I'm really careful, no one will ever know. The purpose of this book is not to teach on the power of intensive prayer. There was indeed a lot of intensive prayer on that fateful day. Kathy prayed, the other husband prayed, and everyone else who knew what was going on prayed. The fact that we came back to our spouses after only 24 hours is not a testimony to any virtue or strength of character on our parts. It is purely a testimony to the power of prayer.
It is encouraging to see that prayer was able to break the power of deception from two people who were ready to ruin their own lives along with many other people's lives. They came to their senses just enough to tuck their tails between their legs and make one step toward undoing the worst mistake of their lives. As expected, the road had been a long and challenging for both couples involved. The good news is that they have repaired their marriages and are living happily ever after, separated by hundreds of miles. What does geographical location have to do with it? Logic may suggest that if both parties have repented, their proximity to one another would be irrelevant, but that is an illusion. The reality is this: we have not met a minister who fell into adultery and was successfully restored while living in close proximity to the person they committed adultery with. To our knowledge, in every case in which neither party moved far away, divorces ultimately resulted. Although the offending minister returned back to his or her spouse in an attempt at restoration, the affair resumed within weeks or months, this time resulting in divorce.
Kathy and I have been successful in our restoration. Our experience trumps theory. We moved. Our restoration was successful, and it's held for 14 years. We have been outrageously happy for the last 11 of those 14 years. Thankfully, this book is not a story about the power of adultery to bring a minister down. Yes, the sin of adultery is a powerful one. It respects no person, and it knows no bounds. The fact that Kathy and I had laid hands on individuals and they were healed of cancer, brain tumor, scoliosis, blind eyes, crossed eyes, deaf ears, bad backs, and many other medical conditions did not make me immune from entering into sin. The fact that Kathy and I had won hundreds of souls to the Lord in street ministry prior to the affair did not keep me pure. The fact that we had daily prayer in our church, conducted miracle services in public places, and had distributed some 40,000 pieces of gospel literature during the previous 3 years did not enable me to say no to my character flaws. Astoundingly, the fact that we had seen God do various remarkable miracles in people's lives, individuals who called us their pastors, did not immunize me from falling. The fact that we tried very hard to have a loving relationship, and the fact that we had two wonderful children, did not keep me walking the straight and narrow. You might find yourself wondering, with all this going for you, how could you fall? And if you fell, what hope is there for me? Is there a solution? Yes, there is a solution. The solution is spelled out in the pages of this book. With all the many failures of high-level public ministers screaming for our attention, we all know that something is wrong. Woe, how the mighty have fallen.
There are many more hundreds, if not thousands, of nameless and faceless failures among ministers living in small hamlets, mid-sized towns, and major metropolitan areas throughout this country. We see and hear about some of the most sensational of these stories on 60 Minutes. We read about the failures of some of our highest-level leaders in Charisma Magazine, and in the Daily Press for that matter. All these, though, represented only the tip of the iceberg. Moving from the pulpit to the pews, we shudder to contemplate some of the goings-on that are transpiring in the homes of tens of millions of everyday believers who are not in the public ministry. There is one inescapable conclusion. Hidden in the recesses of men's hearts and behind closed doors in homes throughout America, some things are terribly wrong.
As always, the demonic deception and influence that resulted in my committing adultery did not affect me alone. The enemy's ultimate plan was to destroy our marriage, our family, and our ministries. Instead, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, what the enemy intended for our destruction created the circumstances by which I came to realize there were deeper issues in play, issues that resulted in this public exposure of my character flaws. The adultery made me face these deeper issues, which, if left unchecked, would have sentenced Kathy and me to a lifelong marriage that would have been mediocre at best. We struggled for 3 painful years after the adultery before we received the knowledge that was needed for us to find complete healing.
This arduous journey of discovery and learning has brought us to the place we are today. During our journey, we discovered certain keys that are enabling us to have a wonderful and fabulous marriage relationship, one that grows richer and more exciting every day. We have great news to share. The great news is that these keys are available to every couple reading this book. We are enjoying the most wonderful marriage on planet Earth. With the help of these keys, you too will be enjoying your own special version of the most wonderful marriage on planet Earth. We believe with every fiber of our being that if we could place a dose of what we have learned into each and every marriage in America and elsewhere, every relationship would be dramatically improved and the world would be the better for it. If Joel and Kathy can do it, so can you. Yes, there is hope for you. In the earliest days of our marriage, we kept in mind that having a successful marriage did not depend on finding the right person. Having a successful marriage depended on being the right person. Little did we realize where our journey of becoming the right person would take us.
Calling all men, regardless of whether your character flaws lie in the areas of abuse, adultery, workaholic tendencies, or substance abuse, there is hope for you. If your challenge is that you simply cannot figure out how to improve your marriage relationship, there's hope for you too. You can overcome your issues. You can become the man that God has called you to become. The answer to every issue a man may have lies in the answer to one question. The answer to adultery lies in the answer to one question. The answer to an abusive relationship lies in the answer to one question. The answer to how you can have an absolutely fabulous marriage to the wife of your youth lies in the answer to one question. The key that will enable your wife to become the most fabulous wife who fulfills your hopes and dreams lies in the answer to one question. Golden key. How do I become the man that God has called me to be?